Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Brian Lawrence. He's the president and CEO of Fellowship Life, which is a senior living community in Basking Ridge. Brian, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time. I wanted to start with some news that the company came out with fairly recently, and that is the rebranding from Fellowship Senior Living to Fellowship Life. Now, I read that the rationale was to appeal to folks who don't view themselves as elderly, and you know, frankly, that sounds right to me as someone who doesn't view himself as elderly. But there must have been. I'm curious as to what the thinking was behind that. What drew you to that conclusion? It must have been more than just a feeling that folks wouldn't want to be think of themselves that way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been in this industry for over 25 years, so we definitely have the pulse on aging Americans and what they're looking for, which has changed over the past several decades. You know, back years ago, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know, when people retired, you know, they lived much more quieter lives. They retired, you know, they kind of like, you know, this went away and really wasn't a continuation of their life or the community or engagement. Okay. Today, though, today's people after they retire, they have 20, 30, 40 years left. And it's really another journey in their life. And they want to continue to be engaged. They want to be active. They want to thrive. They want to look to connect and still be part of the community. They're looking to be well, to be fit, to be stimulated intellectually. So people's lifestyle today is significantly different when they retire to the lifestyle they 30, 40 years ago. You know, things have transformed significantly since then. And as organizations like us, we have to transform. Mm-hmm. You know, a part of our mission and our vision is that we transform the aging experience through innovative opportunities, you know, that enrich and empower the lives of active older adults within the region, right? And that totally mirrors to what people are looking for today. Right? They have transformed over the years. We as an organization who provide service to them, we also need to transform and meet the needs of the consumer where the marketplace is today.
Okay. Now, I'm curious whether you said something that sort of caught my ear, and I'm wondering, are folks retiring earlier at a younger age? I mean, we just went through the pandemic with the Great Resignation, and I'm just wondering, are you getting actually people who are retiring before what most people would think is the standard retirement age, say 65 and up?
It's not that. It's like when people retire today, they're still very young and vibrant and healthy. I mean, people who retire at 65 today or like they were 45, 30 years ago, right? Okay. I mean, the people just much more healthier and active and engaged when they retire today and looking for a different experience.
Okay, so 65 is the new 45 is what you're...
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now, along with that announcement was one that the company was had forged some affiliations with three other communities. I'm curious as to what that entails exactly and what each entity gets out of that arrangement. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. Just like most businesses, you know, a standalone business organization operator, you know, there's challenges, right, that you face, you know, as you get pressures from outside forces. It could be a regulatory pressure. It could be economics, you know, inflation pressure, right? Or dealing with like a pandemic, you know? you know, so as a single site operator, it's challenged to navigate that and have the resources in order to help address those challenges and to move forward as an organization. When you grow, you do two things, right? You serve. We're a nonprofit organization, right? So we're mission based, and we're here to help, you know, older people, you know, live an active, vibrant lifestyle where they're looking to have that, you know, whether it's in their home, their private home, or through one of our communities. We want to make sure that they age gracefully and they live a very healthy, active, vibrant life. Okay. And to do that effectively and to, you know, be a, you know, going concern for next 50, 100 years, you know, we need to grow to meet that mission and also get those economies of scale and get those resources to benefit, you know, the organization, as well as all those people that we care for and serve. So by expanding from one community to four communities, that has gone a long way to help us with those economies of scale, spread that overhead, have that larger buy-in power. We have one payroll that services, you know, over 800 people now, right? Versus each community having their own payroll company paying those same fees, you know, four different times. Now just paying one fee, you know, servicing the same amount of people. And that you could mimic through all the different benefits and programs and support structure for all the team.
Okay. So tell me a little bit then about what role Fellowship Life plays in the community. How do you see yourself fitting into the industry, the community that you're parts of around the state? What do you do and what do you bring that some of the other facilities don't?
Sure. So we're a very proactive entrepreneurial organization, a learning organization, you could call it too. You know, we always look to adopt best practices and be in the forefront, again, is what the consumer is looking for. What can we do to help improve people's lives as they age?
Okay.
And fill those gaps in aging services. You know, we want to make sure we're the organization when you, as you age and you need something to help you with that aging experience. You know, whether it's health and medical services or where to live, you know, being more of a community setting or an area to live as your age that could accommodate you, or plans for long-term care, right? To have some access to those services. You know, you can do that through one of our communities or provide long-term care services right in your own home. Right throughout New Jersey. We launched therapy at home and wellness in home a couple of years ago because of the demand and need for that, mm-hmm. because some regulatory changes that was happening in the industry. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but you know, Medicare, hospitals, you know, used to discharge people to subacutes who had like orthopedic surgeries. Now, for the past several years, I've been sending them directly to the home. And then those individuals have to figure out, okay, now how do I get to receive therapy services? How do I get myself to the therapist? Can I get somebody to come to my home, right? We saw that gap and we met that gap. And now we're serving over 200 people per month. And okay. We just started that 2 years ago. And that's continued to grow and meet that demand that's out there. Speaking of demand, I mean, you know, people, the biggest demographic throughout New Jersey and America is the aging America, people over 65. And it's going to be even more significant in the next 10 years. It's going to grow over 50% over the next 10 years, the amount of people over 65. And it's just amazing the numbers and the need that's going to be there. And we want to be well positioned throughout New Jersey to meet that demand and need that's there. And on top of that, speaking about what people are looking for and how they age and what they need, you know, besides health and medical services, wellness is a significant part of that, right? As well, mm-hmm. you know, we're updating our communities to have this fitness centers available okay. to people, you know, so people can be more active and more engaged and, you know, have Tai Chi, yoga, bar classes, you know, not to mention the weight training and everything else that goes around that. We're also opening our first med spa, you know, that we're launching as we speak, spring. And I don't know okay. if you're familiar with what a med spa is, but that helps people age more gracefully, you know, as well. And focusing on, you know, facials or M-sculpting, which strengthens your core, and that could help you with lower back pain and walking, or just cosmetic items to make you feel better. Or cool sculpting, it gets rid of some extra weight around the mid side or other parts of your body. You know, so I mean, it's all about the lifestyle, right? Okay. And that's about Fellowship Life, part of the name. You know, we truly are looking to make sure people live their best life wherever that journey takes them, whether it's in one of our communities or it's in their own home or just an everyday life.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned some of the amenities. I know what one of the things I read about was a theater that you have that I think is yes. also open to the public. Can you tell me a little yes. bit about that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's the Siminski Theater, mm-hmm. And it's truly a community theater, a real professional theater. It's 257 seats, no bad seat in the house. Has a stage, has a fly space. You know, that's a space over the stage where right. you can swing things and pull scenery and so forth.
Professional showbiz, in other words.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And we have a wonderful talent. We have a local community theater group that performs there called Trilogy. We have a professional equity theater group called American Theater Group that performs there. They just did a performance of Parade at the theater. And I'm sure you heard about that and how big that is now coming on Broadway. And it was just fabulous performance. I mean, it was full house each night that they had it. We have New Jersey Light Opera that performs there. New Jersey Festival Orchestra that performs there every year. And many other talent that comes into the theater.
Okay.
So that's open to the greater community as well as people it's housed on the campus of Fellowship Village, one of our communities in Baskin Ridge. So those residents have easy access to that as well. But that's what people are looking for. I mean, not just people that live in our communities, but everyone. You know, they want arts and culture. They want wellness and fitness. You know, they want engagement. We're adding a pickleball court to the Fellowship.
Everybody's adding pickleball courts.
Of course. You really want to grasp and provide that type of level of engagement people are looking for, that type of lifestyle.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to make light of the pickleball court, because what it sounds like you're talking about is this isn't what the conception that most people have of a senior living facility. This sounds like a basic multifamily residential development with all the kinds of things that you're talking about. That sounds
better than that.
Okay.
I mean, people say, you heard there's over 55 communities, right? But those over 55 communities are very limited. The communities that Fellowship Life are creating and reimagining, right, is really it's a continuation of the community that you've always lived in, right? Mm-hmm. But more access to things. I mean, we have 5-star dining, indoor, outdoor dining. We have a bar, at a community, and we're adding that at other communities. We have, the pool, the fitness center, the theater, the pickleball court, the walk-in trails, the list goes on and on. It's just a continuation of your existing lifestyle. Your lifestyle should not change because your age.
Mm-hmm.
You want to continue accessing the same type of hospitality services that you've always accessed throughout your life.
Okay. All right. So I'd just like to talk a little bit then about the business. First of all, as viewers know, the pandemic was tough on senior living facilities. How did you get through that? How are you doing now? What's your situation? How did you get through that?
Sure. So again, it goes back to us being a very innovative, proactive organization. So when we first got word of the pandemic back in February of 2020, as it was approaching and we're hearing more about it, we were one of the first ones to take action and react to it. It gave an example, our theater, which we opened only 6 months before that. We were the first theater to close in New Jersey.
Okay.
As well as address things from a community perspective.
Sure.
And from a safety perspective, from all the people that we serve and everything else. So we fared relatively well compared to other organizations with just the focus and strategies that we put in place, the communications. And we put a lot of things in motion during that to increase creativity and engagement among the people that we serve and access to services. And for another thing, one thing that we're in the process of launching, or we've just recently launched, is technology in the home using artificial intelligence, right? That's a thing that we're investing in right now as well, in order to provide a higher level of service and engagement.
Let me stop you there. How does that work? Yeah. I mean, I read that and I was thinking, how can I get into that? So, because artificial intelligence is like a buzzword now, everybody's doing it. What do you use it for, and how does it relate to what happened coming out of the pandemic?
So a couple of things, right? We're using it for. So this new service that we're launching called Fellowship Connected Living, powered by Livindi. It's really technology in the home. So you have motion sensors in people's homes. with like a device that's on an iPad, a software, you know, that's there where you communicate with those individuals, and the AI behind it, it really monitors people and their habits and behaviors, and really understands patterns and alerts us and the family of changes. And if there's underlining medical things that may be going on for us, for Health Navigator to coordinate doctor's appointments or visits, we could do telehealth through this platform. Okay. There's also an engagement piece where they could communicate visually with us and their family. We also give them content, engagement content, like, you know, videos, entertainment, connectivity, exercises, and so forth. So it's a whole different way to help help people, again, age well within, if they want to stay in their own home, mm-hmm. and be safe and secure, and also gives peace of mind to their family as well. Another way we're using AI is behind the scenes from an organization perspective to be more productive, talking about, you know, things that we were facing, right? Because of the pandemic and the supply chain and the war in Ukraine and everything else, you know, there's higher inflation. Well, right. How do you address that? Yeah, you increase your fees, but only to an extent that you can do that, right?
Right.
So you got to look at other ways. We also use an AI. We're teamed up with this organization who is coming in as we speak and looking at all of our tasks that we do and looking at repetitive tasks. And what they're going to do is they're going to create these AI bots right behind the scenes to take care of these tasks for us, to make us more efficient and productive as an organization.
Okay. So another difficulty many businesses had coming out of the pandemic was hiring and retaining staff. I saw that you are building a special facility to house folks who work for you. Was that part of your effort to do that? How have you been able to navigate that difficulty that, as I said, has been a widespread problem, not only in New Jersey, but nationally?
No, you're absolutely right. And that still continues to be a challenge. And there's a whole another discussion we could have around that and what actions that need to be taken from a congressional perspective to help support that. Mm-hmm. But again, we like to be proactive. We like to address things head on. And yes, of course, we address things from a competitive wage perspective. And make sure people receive a living wage,
right.
Even more so than that, and make sure we have the right benefits and support. We, you know, years ago, we developed our own internal hospitality program called Fellowship Spirit, where we train and educate all of our team members on how to work together as a team, how do we communicate with another, how do we provide hospitality level of service. So we have a culture of hospitality and supporting our team, right? So that's important. And we have competitive wage program and benefits. That's important. But even that's not enough today, right? As you know, of the huge deficit that's needs in all industries, especially in for nurses and caregivers, with the growing demographics that's out there. And we were significantly well behind meeting that gap and that need to provide services to aging America. So we can't wait around for other people to act. We got to act, you know. So besides doing everything I just said, we also are teaming up with schools in other countries. We have a relationship with a school in Jamaica that trains nurses and caregivers. They actually are flying in today to come and visit us. So we're hiring all those people to come here and be part of Fellowship Life and service, aging New Jerseyans, right? And help us with that, because there's such a huge demand out there that's not being met. You know, right. We need the staffing to do that. So we just got approved out of one of our campuses, the first employee housing that we're building. So we'll be doing that later this year. We're very excited about that. And we'll be doing that at each of our campuses.
Okay.
And we'll be bringing in people to work on those campuses, as well as, don't forget, we also have a home community-based service division. We have home care, hospice services that we provide people throughout New Jersey too. And that needs staffing as well, to meet that demand for people who want to have that care in their home, in their private home. So we need a feeder for that and to meet that need that's out there. So it's been great, and really excited about bringing those people in and helping to serve the people throughout New Jersey. The only challenge, because we've set that up and that's great, but the bottleneck is through the visa program. America. Mm-hmm. And that's something we all have to advocate for when this comes up. I know there's some committees meeting about it and talk about it congressionally, but we need to advocate for that. We need to raise the visa requirements. We need to give funding to bring people in. We need to make it easier, not take 18 months, 2 years to bring in a nurse. And right now they're just looking at applications back from June 2022.
Really? Okay.
Yes, it's again, huge bottleneck. They really need to address legal immigration to bring the workers in that we need throughout, not just in healthcare industry, but all industries out there.
Is that just a residual effect of the pandemic? Because there was no, during the pandemic, the State Department basically shut down. There were no, I mean, yours wasn't the only industry that felt that, or is that a more structural systemic problem that exists now?
So I could tell you for our industry, the healthcare industry, it's definitely a systemic problem that started before the pandemic.
Okay.
The pandemic just exacerbated it and made it even worse. But as people age and retire and as they start needing our services, typically in the mid-70s and beyond that, there's not enough staff to meet that. Here's one statistic. Listen to this. During the pandemic, 100,000 nurses left their job, right? Mm-hmm. In the next 5 years, over 500,000 more nurses will leave their job. You know, that's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And there's millions of caregivers that we need to meet the needs of the existing population, and there'll be millions more needed as people age. You know, so we're in a dire need for people coming into our industry as caregivers and nurses, but it's not going to be solved by homegrown education here in America. You got to do the education piece and grow people to that industry for sure, but you need to have a strong visa program without caps. I would say eliminate the caps, give funding, and let's bring as many people as we can in to meet that need.
Okay. Well, as you say, it's something the healthcare industry writ large is dealing with. You've been really generous with your time, and I don't mean to keep you. I did want to ask you one last thing, and that is just about the future. You've mentioned a couple of things: aging population, and the difficulties you're having in hiring and retaining talented staff. What are your priorities over the, say, the next 12 months? Are we looking at more of the kinds of deals you have with the three communities that we talked about earlier? What are you thinking about? What are you anticipating at this point?
Sure. So it's a continuation of everything that we've been doing. We have a very strong strategic plan that we always are looking at and putting in place and revisiting. You know, we don't have a plan that, you know, you put on a shelf and you don't look at. Right. We actually look at it constantly. And it is just five things that we focus on in our strategic plan. You know, people, right? Hiring the people, the right people, and making sure we have the right focus in providing those services. So we're constantly focusing on that. And with our growth, as we've grown, we've been able to hire more people from a corporate perspective to support all the communities. Okay. For example, right now we're looking for a director of retention and recruitment. Right. And the reason why we were able to hire that, and as well as many other people we hired, promoted from within a VP of clinical operations, right, to focus on the clinical aspect of it, to make sure that we are, being effective and coming up with more creative ways and providing more clinical oversight and care and services throughout the organization. You know, so that growth allows us to hire, you know, more resources and talent to then go back and give back to all the people that we serve and the organization communities that come on to us. So we're going to continue to do that and grow and look to continue to expand and meet the huge demand that's out there. We're going to continue to reinvest into each of our communities and transform each community to meet what today's, you know, older adult is looking for. I would say active older adult is looking for. So that's an ongoing. We have plans at each of our communities to continue that transformation. And we're going to continue growing and expanding our services to meet the needs of people as they age. Like I said, we know we just opened up our first med spa. If that's successful, I want to open up other med spas throughout New Jersey. Or we're going to be adding Fitness centers, first fitness center that's going to be open to the greater community will be at our Fellowship Village campus in Basque Ridge. Mm-hmm. That's going to be, again, we're going to have programs and services for the greater community. And again, creating a much more vibrant atmosphere at that community. And we're going to take the same philosophy and apply that to all the other communities. So it's an ongoing expansion of our programs and services and transformation and reaching out to people to where they need us. And also, as well as through our growth of our fellowship medical practice, you know, we have a medical group that we're growing and expanding as well.
Okay.
And it would divide people. Another thing we didn't mention that we're adding to our medical group practice, which is very unique, is genetic testing.
Okay.
Right. And again, that's, again, really understanding what's going on under the person from a DNA perspective and what they could be exposed to later. Are they prone to cancer or other issues that we need to address up front and help them navigate that and be proactive in their clinical care? So that's something that we're introducing through a medical practice that we'll be launching as well later as well in the next 12 months.
Okay. Well, it sounds ambitious. I hope you come back and let us know how it goes at some point, or check in and let us give us a progress update.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, well, thanks for taking the time. Brian Lawrence, CEO of Fellowship Life. Thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.